we do. Every single Saturday on these airwaves, my name's Casey Steed, the voice of your valley. This is Citizen Watch on Merced's News Talk Station 107.3 FM, 1480 AM, KYOS. Come on. That's humor said. Winton. Banana. And all of the little communities up and down the I-5 and the 99. Here in the County of Mercy, Saturday morning, January 15th, the 8 a.m. hour. And as promised, we have a guest that we have brought in. We fished him out of the creek over here, floating by. No, I'm teasing. He's with the Bear Creek Yacht Club. And he called, I don't know, a couple of, oh, I got to get ready. You know, Dave Luna has a staff. He has people that come in, actually make breakfast for him every Friday. That's what we want to go out with. But I have to do everything myself. But no, none other than Jeremiah Greggins. Did I say your name right?
You did.
I did. Good. And he likes to be called Jer.
Jer's perfect.
Jer's perfect. Like Jerry O'Banion.
Yeah, yeah. Knew him well.
Yeah, really nice guy. And speaking of Jerry O'Banion, a little connection here. I completely forgot when Jeremiah approached me, called me, I don't know, a couple of months ago. I'm pretty bad at getting back to messages, but I did get back to him. But he reminded me that he was in the studio before. I said, have you ever been down here when we were setting up the time? And he goes, yeah, don't you remember? I came in with Scott Silvera. And, of course, my razor-sharp memory, I forgot that. Now, you were a political consultant or just helping him out? Or
I was his social media campaign manager.
So you're one of those tech guys, those social media, Facebook, Zuckerberg, all Twitter, the Instagram, the whole,
yeah,
the whole nine.
I dabble in a little bit of everything.
You haven't been banned? You haven't been cut off or anything?
I have never been in social media jail.
Well, that's good. I know a few of my friends have, I guess. I think I've been pretty lucky. I keep it in between the lines. But anyway, Jeremiah, Chair, was the social media director for Scott Silvera, who was successful in the primary, I might add, in his campaign. Now, again, this was after Mr. O'Banion, Supervisor O'Banion, had decided to move on.
After 27 years?
Right, I think one of the longest tenures in supervisorial tenureship,
yes,
especially here in the Valley. And Scott was in a field, I want to think, what, three or four people, you know, in the primary.
Yeah.
And pulled it out in the primary. And let me tell you, that's a big deal, having ran for office a couple of times myself, never getting past the primary, folks, that to win in the primary, especially when you have more than two or three, is really, really quite the deal. Well, I guess two, you're going to win, but three.
It was exciting. It was a great, great team that Scott put together. And, yeah, you know, and he's a great guy. He does his thing and he gets stuff done.
And hard to believe it's 4 years.
Yeah, three. We're going on. He's going on his fourth.
Yeah, that means coming up again.
Yes.
Are you still doing the advising of Instagram and Facebook and Twitter? And
I like Scott. I'll be helping him out if he chooses to bring me on.
Now, is this a business you have, or is this just something you do as a hobby?
This is more of a hobby that I do. When I find somebody that is of a political slant one way or the other, I'm probably the most nonpartisan person you'll ever meet. If I believe in you and I believe in what you do and you come across as a great person, mm-hmm, I'm more than willing to help you out.
That's interesting. Well, I'll tell you, there's a tremendous need for folks to be helped, especially in this political environment, the changing, you know, with the COVID and that sort of thing, things going more digital, the Zoom, that sort of thing. So I'm sure your expertise is very welcome to any campaign, especially Scott's. I hope he's successful. I think he's been a very good supervisor. I think he's done a great job over there at the board. I know they just made him, I think, second in command.
That is correct.
And he will, I don't know if he's ever had the chairmanship or not.
No, not
2 years. No, but hey, still another year. Who knows what could happen? Well, no, I guess this is it. Now we're gonna know at the end of this year. He better get reelected if you want to see that gavel like Darren's had a couple of times. And Darren McDaniel, the senior member on the board. Now there's something, you know, again, because Jerry.
Yes.
A lot of, now are you from the west side?
No, I'm actually from Merced. I actually am on the south side.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
So would you have to commute over there?
Did
you telecommute? Well, of course, Facebook and stuff, you probably didn't even have to leave your armchair, did you?
No, I actually have a lot of connections. It's Merced County. You know, Merced County is a small county, you know, for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, we have the San Joaquin River that divides the east and west side.
Oh, I call it the Iron Curtain over
but
there.
The Iron Curtain's really easy to cross.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, the Dickinson, west of Dickinson Ferry Road. Well, again, I had completely forgot your connection. Really, really nice to hear that you're involved in the political scene here, not only on the west side but here in Merced, because it's a very, you know, it's a big deal. It's a changing dynamic, as you've seen.
It is,
especially at the city council level, and you're pretty heavily involved. Now, you're the vice president. We're not teasing when we say that, of the Bear Creek Yacht Club.
I am the vice president of the Bear Creek Yacht Club.
Vice president. Now, who is the presidente?
Zach Wells.
Now, yeah. I don't think I know Mr. Wells, or do I? Because I didn't know you, but I did.
I don't know if you and Zach have ever met.
Is he an older gentleman, a younger guy?
No, he's actually younger than I am.
Uh-huh. Now, you're pretty young yourself. How old are you?
I'm 47.
47.
Yeah.
Well, you hold it well.
Thank you.
You're 47 years old. Now, you work for the county. I saw a county logo earlier.
I do. I work for the Human Services Agency.
HSA.
HSA.
Now, that used to be ran by, Anna Pagan?
Yes.
Used to run that years ago, and that's one of the largest budgets in the county, as I remember.
If not the largest.
Yeah, I think close to $1 billion you guys administer over there, $750 million.
It's possible. It's a little bit above my pay grade, but
yeah,
it's possible.
Hey, you're just one of the... Now, what do you do over there?
I am a supervisor in the employment and training department.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, to hire people or to help people get jobs?
Our charge is to help people become employed so they're no longer on the cash assistance rolls.
Okay, so you're not part of like HR with HSA. You're helping people that are on government assistance or whatever try to get different types of jobs or gainful employment, that sort of thing?
Either education, training, or employment, something that will lead to their self-sufficiencies.
Well, so there's a lot of resources at the county, and you're kind of determining where those best are fit for people?
Mm-hmm. Yes. We allow them to kind of take the charge of where they want to go, and then we try to fit them into whatever is available to help them reach their own goals.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be anywhere from getting their high school diploma, GED, at the Merced Adult School, to obtaining a vocational training through MCOE or through the college, or actually attending a brick and mortar school or even some online schools, or just introducing them to the employers that are out there looking for work so they can just jump on the employment bandwagon.
Yeah, well, it's such an important thing. The two go hand in hand, education and employment.
Yes.
And, you know, it's kind of a perennial problem here in our valley. You know, out of 58 counties, it's no secret. We bring up the lead or the rear, depending on what statistic you're looking in, sometimes not the best. And education is a really important thing, and good jobs, good paying jobs. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of the social ills we see, the problems we see, kind of matter, you know, a cause of that, right? Not having those.
There's a ripple effect in there.
Yeah, so don't just leave me hanging there when you say there's a ripple effect. In other words, if we had, do you think there's a lack of jobs or a lack of people to do them right now?
Well, of course, you know, in today's time, like right now, there's not a lack of jobs. There's definitely jobs out there. Employers are definitely looking for people to work. There is a struggle of getting the, you know, people back to work after the stay-at-home order or whatever you want to call that. So, you know, right now we're in this weird time.
Well, and all of the assistance that was given, you know, the pandemic relief, the unemployment assistance, there was some, you know, really, and again, I think it was well-intentioned, but it kind of maybe conditioned people that, hey, you know, there's a, you know, working is not everything there is because of all this assistance. But that's kind of dried up now, and people are having to, you know, make their way back into the workforce and try to make their way. I don't think there's any more unemployment on the horizon. The sick pay is over, even though the Omicron and the variants still continue. Does that make your job a little tougher?
I wouldn't say it'd make it a little any tougher or any easier. You know, when we're talking about the pandemic in general, I think a lot of people have taken a pause and they're now reevaluating what they determine work should be and what it shouldn't be for themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about all the different benefits that have come and then have now faded away.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are still taking that time to really figure out what they want to do and how they're going to go about doing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, things change, and it's just a ongoing struggle, and, you know, we're there for them, and we'll continue to be there and, you know, trying to help people make that change for themselves.
I think they're using the last few $100 bills personally. I think we're about, you know, 6 months away from, hey, I need a job. You're really going to see people start coming back into it.
That is possible.
Now, you have a lot. There's a lot of people over there at HSA, aren't there? Like several hundred employees?
I believe so.
And where do you work specifically? I know they're all spread out over the county.
We're actually at Castle.
You're at Castle?
Yeah, we're at Castle now.
That's kind of the coalescence. Haven't we tried to move everybody out there? Is that the new theory?
It's not a new I don't think it's a new theory. That's once again above my pay grade with the county.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to get you in any.
But there is a move amongst the Board of Supervisors and others that want to spread county services throughout the county so people aren't having to come from all corners of the county just to Merced. Mm. So, you know, we have the agency that's over on Wardrobe. We have the one that's out at Castle. And we have a new one that just opened up in, they brought all of the little HSA departments in Los Banos into one, maybe two facilities now. There's a new facility over on Pacheco. They just rented out and got everybody in there. So there's just a movement to make governmental services better for everybody and more accessible in the county right now.
Well, you know, being the county seat, a lot of people do come to Merced. And
yeah.
And some cases, you know, without adequate transportation, they stay here, you know, and, mm-hmm. and it's difficult. And I think it has been proven to try to provide those services where the people are from.
Yes.
In the area, kind of support them in their area. It makes a lot more sense. Well, look, the reason that, you know, you called me was I had made some comments over the past few months about the Bear Creek Yacht Club. And I know that it's kind of, I appreciate you bringing me one of your patches. It's really cute. You know, it's a bear. And who doesn't love bears?
That's Patty. That's Paddleton the Bear.
Okay, I didn't know. Yeah, so we have a mascot.
We have a mascot.
Paddleton the Bear, who's wearing an orange, I call it a construction safety vest.
Or life jacket.
Sitting in a shopping cart. Now, as you know, shopping carts, it's kind of like a submarine with a screen door, okay? You know, it's not going to hold a lot of water. But it looks kind of cute. And the bear has a paddle and a big smile on his face. And he's just trying to move through the creek there. And I really commend these folks every time I talk to them about them and to them about their you know, tenacity and their work and really the conditions you work in. You know, I worked one of those cleanups, not Bear Creek, but I think we call them the Northeast West, the quadrants.
Yeah.
Mayor Serrato's first attempts to kind of take back the city. The alleys and the streets were really bad. Of course, the creeks and waterways have unfortunately suffered too.
They're in poor shape.
Yeah,
we'll
and,
say that.
And there was a, you know, but going through those alleys, some of the things we picked up, I picked up a cow.
Yeah,
I picked up entrails. I picked up a lot of human debris. And again, when you add water to that mix,
yes,
I really got to give you guys credit.
It's interesting at times.
Oh,
it's interesting.
And you have seemed to fixate on this one part of the creek over by the trestle that has yes. these bamboo shoots that grow into the water, and they're a natural filter. And I get frustrated because has anybody thought about cutting that bamboo?
Yes, we've all thought about it. And we're working with different regulatory agencies to start addressing some of the invasive plants that are throughout the creek within the city of Merced. Not just the Bear Creek Yacht Club, but I do know Mayor Maserato is talking with different agencies. It's actually kind of amazing on how many governmental agencies that are involved in the creek in one shape, form, or another.
Yeah.
You know, here we are as just a volunteer group trying to get it together.
Well, and that's and you may know that a few years ago, the county, who was the lead agency along the Bear Creek there to kind of keep the permits with the Corps of Engineers, let mm-hmm. it lapse, and we had to make a new application as opposed to just renewing a permit.
Right.
And that really made a very, very difficult situation in trying to clean up some of the underbrush and stuff there where people were camped. Of course, they could start a fire, and it's no big deal, but we couldn't as a county. So, you know, you're right. There are a lot of different entities. Hey, we're at the end of the first segment of Citizen Watch, Saturday morning, the 8 a.m. hour. It's January 15th, 2022. Hard to believe. We have with us Jeremiah Gregans. He's the vice president of the Bear Creek Yacht Club. They're incorporated, they're getting incorporated into a 501(c)(3) something.
See,
are you doing see. A single? There's different ones.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk with Jeremiah after the break. Stick with us. My name's Casey Steed, the voice of your valley. Citizen Watch, Saturday morning, 107.3 FM, 1480 AM, KYOS.
Back bumper's got a dent from her backing into a mailbox first time she drove it. Couldn't even be mad with her looking like that. Told her hell, you can hardly even notice. It's got acts with her.
grass grows. Hands out the window floating on the breeze. She's fixing her lips in the drop down mirror. That pretty little thing made it hard to steer. I'm never gonna get her out of there. There's too many memories.
Hey, here we are, Saturday morning, Citizen Watch. My name's Casey Steve, the voice of your valley on Merced's News Talk, 107.3 FM, 1480 AM, KYOS.
So, you're 7,500, all we know.
Here with Jeremiah Gragans, Chair, Vice President of the Bear Creek Yacht Club, a great little logo with a cute bear. What's the name of the bear?
Paddle Team 10.
Paddleton. Now, is that a girl or a boy bear?
I don't think it matters. It's in the creek.
I love it. It's in the creek.
It's in the creek.
Hey, anyway, it's kind of an interesting concept here because trash is a big deal.
Yeah.
And the reason I say it's a big deal is, you know, talked about all the entities, you know, just to get down in the creek. Now, I always think of MID as being kind of the lead one because I call it a big irrigation ditch. They give you guys any heartache, any help, any, they like the effort over there? Have you even talked to them?
I believe they like the effort. We, you know, we've had a few conversations privately, individually, nothing official between their organization and our organization. Mm-hmm. But the community at large and all the organizations and governmental organizations that we have run across have really embraced us, and the community at large has embraced us. You know, we introduce ourselves all the time as the Bear Creek Yacht Club. We're over the top ridiculous for a serious problem, you know, and our logo is kind of that. It's over the top ridiculous. It's a bear in a shopping cart. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to have the shopping cart because we pull out shopping carts pretty consistently. Every cleanup we have, we come out with at least two, you know, so we just kind of run with it. The governmental organizations, they don't seem to be having too much of a problem. We try not to go too deep into anything, so we're violating any laws or things of that nature. You know, a lot of the things that most have come back with us is everybody's afraid of some sort of liability. Mm-hmm. You know, so we've purchased our own insurance now, so we're covered by Fletch and Busby.
Wow.
You know, we chose somebody local, you know, with history in the city, because we think that's very important. That's huge to us in the Bear Creek Yacht Club, is just embracing the city of Merced. Most of us are locals or been here for decades. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Well, no, it's quite the endeavor, again, to go out there. You know, I went one time on a Saturday with some friends and, you know, had a good time. We actually, Matt Serrato, Mayor Serrato, was leading that, and he goes, we're going to pull an audible. Uh-huh. And we went over to the 13th and G Street on-ramp, and this was when it was bad. I mean, it really probably wasn't as built up, but the junk was there. There was just trash and tents. There weren't the structures and a doorway. I haven't been over there recently, but I understand it's quite the facility. And we just started right from the, you know, the on-ramp, right at the giddy up there from G Street, and mm-hmm. I don't know, we made it about 200 feet maybe. And
you guys made a big dent that day.
Yeah, I gave up, and then a few days later, mm-hmm. Caltrans called.
Yeah.
And said, do not do that. You were actually trespassing, and you can't remove that material. And, you know, you hear some of these things, and you're like, man, where is the common sense, folks? I mean, nobody really complained that day we were there. I think they were actually helpful. They were helping us load the trucks.
Right.
It was an absolute, you know, just junk. I don't think anybody was going to miss anything. But do you find that frustrating still, that you can't really go maybe as far as you really want to?
Yes. Yeah. And no. And I say yes because there are times that we want to get in there and remove some of the brush and things of that nature that would make it easier for us to get in there. But at the same time, we kind of have to keep it. And I understand we need the need to keep things in check, mm-hmm. you know, because if our organization goes in and just, you know, just totally guts Bear Creek, you know, that just totally just changes the face of what the creek looks like and everything. You know, then other organizations will have their better idea, and it just will snowball, and nobody will get anything truly accomplished. So I kind of understand it. You know, I don't necessarily agree with it sometimes.
You just want to remove the junk. I mean, that's what you're doing now.
Yeah.
Now with the creek being dry, I know that gives you some more opportunities that you didn't have.
Yes.
I like the fact that you use this huge grappling hook, and I want to know, when you talked about getting insurance, is that thing now insured?
I don't know if it's insured for loss or theft.
That thing is a massive piece of equipment, and you guys throw that into the creek and try to
a few of those.
Grab whatever you can and pull mm-hmm. up these shopping carts. Now, you know, these shopping carts, what do you think the problem is? The mayor, some of the council members have talked about maybe going after the store owners. mm-hmm. going after the retailers,
right?
Some of the big ones too. You know, we got food. I look at the ones I see, the yellow Food for Less and the orange Target card seem mm-hmm. to me the. I don't know. What do you see them? You see them all, obviously.
We see them all.
Is there a predominant one that you see more so than others?
There's not a predominant one that I see more so than others, but I've noticed that there are certain ones that we don't see or see very few of.
Really?
Yeah. Like Costco.
Ah.
Since we've been really pulling carts, I think out of the entire time, I think I've seen 2 Costco carts the entire time compared to the other stores where I'm seeing 10s, 20s of theirs, you know. And I think it's really by design of their business model on how they go out into the lots, pull their carts almost immediately, and it's a constant doing where others leave their carts out in the middle of the parking lot for a longer period of time, which allows them to sneak off.
That's a good observation. I know Save Mart, at least the one by mm-hmm. my house, very, very diligent. And Costco, like you say, they're always out there rounding those carts up.
Yeah.
So maybe that's one of the concerns. You know, I'm always a little reluctant to penalize private business for bad behavior. And I think what maybe where I come from in some of my comments when I watch you folks out there, and again, I participated myself, is, you know, it's a responsibility, I think, mm-hmm. when we live together in society and, you know, try to get along and obey the rules. And having enforced rules, I know there's the letter of the law and there's the spirit of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And I always try to enforce and have lived by the spirit of the law.
Right.
And the letter of the law is just that. And so we have these signs that are right next to the creek, you know, no camping, no this, no that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bridge is occupied, you know, with all of these folks living under there. So we're not really enforcing the letter of the law.
Right.
And when we talk about the spirit of the law, you know, these people that you're cleaning up after, what responsibility do you think they have? And, I mean, what more would you like to see? And am I maybe looking at that wrongly? In other words, do the people that are creating this problem over and over, because you guys have a schedule. You guys have a schedule that goes through December of next year, this year.
Roughly, yeah. And we're moving on into the next year and things of that nature. There's a lot of plans.
So doesn't that mean that we're going to have trash to pick up in December of this year along that creek that maybe isn't there right now?
People do people things. And as long as there's people involved, there will always be trash. I mean, that's just the way it goes. You know, and as we're walking through the creeks and floating through the creeks and things of that nature, we do run across the people that are encamped on the creeks, and we have conversations with them all the time. You know, I'm generally with Mayor Matt Serrato for about 90% of the times because he's very active in all of this, and he likes to go down and pick up trash and call his audibles, like you said earlier. We tease him about that all the time. But as we're having those conversations, Matt and myself working with the county, we're always asking them if they want resources, things of that nature. Somebody need to come down and talk to them so they can do that. And then the conversation switches over to, you know, would you like a couple trash bags? Can you pile, you know, pick up your trash, bag it, we'll take care of it. And we're actually developing a lot of relationships with those that are down on the creek, making it their home. And they're starting to bag things up. The bigger issue is they don't have the resources and things of that nature. You know, us dropping off trash bags every couple of days, it gets a little daunting for our resources as well. But we're actually making some progress with them. And the ones that don't like us being down there, they have mysteriously moved on to other places.
Now, why wouldn't they like you being down there? I mean, it's almost like concierge picking up my trash.
I think they like the seclusion of the creek.
Oh, I see.
I think they like the seclusion.
Dial out.
Because when you... For the most part, when you find the encampments on the creek, they're one person, maybe two people. They don't really congregate in large groups like you see at 13th and G Street. So I think they just more like the seclusion. Now we're kind of there interrupting their seclusion. And they start to move. Like we're getting ready this after today to go down to the Montana area in Bear Creek and remove 3 abandoned camps there.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be down there taking care of that. And that's one of the encampments that we actually had spoken to.
So now what do you consider? I mean, you guys must do a little monitoring or have some intel that, hey, this is an abandoned. After a couple of days, somebody's not there, you go in and do some abatement. I like that idea.
With Yes, we do that. With today's social media, with our Facebook page, our Instagram page, people are messaging us, hey, there's this happening here, there's that happening there.
Right.
A lot of our members, they walk the path, so they see it firsthand, they monitor it daily, and as soon as we can confirm with the population down there if that camp is abandoned or not, as soon as we can confirm it, we try to schedule it and get it in and out as fast as possible. It's definitely interesting, but we're seeing improvement down there slowly but surely, and it's getting there.
So the engagement with the community that's causing this problem and that you're dealing with, you find that beneficial? You find that there is some buy-in from them?
There's some. I'm not going to say it's going to be 100% buy-in, you know, because the people who are, you know, experiencing the unhoused or the homeless, whatever the catchphrase is of it today is, they're all dealing with different issues, you know, and depending on what those issues are, depends on how much responsibility they're taking for that.
Well, so, you probably see that all the way from, you know, mental illness to drug abuse.
Yes.
And then some folks, like you say, just don't want to be bothered, right? They just want to live alone and don't mess with you. Do you think that's a sustainable, you know, we always use that word sustainable, a viable. And again, you're an HSA. Your job is to try to get folks out of that situation, I think. And so this must be somewhat frustrating. And I know you can't help everybody. You know, we're not all Mother Teresa here. So, do you think that's the right? I mean, do you see another way? We have the navigation center. We have to let these people live along the creek?
I won't say we have to let them live along a creek. You know, I'm not a big proponent of the public space camping or the Boise rule, if you know what the Boise rule is. I'm not a proponent of that. I believe all public spaces are there for all the public.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody is homesteading in a public place, that limits the other 99% of the public to access that space. So I'm not a proponent of that. But I do.
Now that's interesting. So you appreciate the free use of the creek and the enjoyment of it, but to kind of take it over for your own residence, that kind of crosses a line.
In my opinion, it does.
Well, I agree with your opinion. And I think that that's where we get into the personal responsibility of the individual and how far do we let that continue. And I know resources are tight, and that's why we kind of, you know, maybe turn a blind eye or do what your group is doing, trying to address the problem as best we can. Get a little buy-in from that community.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's a space for tough love? Law enforcement, do you think there's any, you know, we've talked about using assets, not law enforcement, you know, but more social services, things like your you know, HSA?
There's,
do you think more assets should be going that way, or do you think we need a little more enforcement, or?
I think it's a combination of all aspects, a little bit of enforcement, a little bit about a social, because we're dealing with, like we said, people that have drug addiction to mental health service issues and everything in between. And not one specific action is going to change it for every person. So we need to kind of send a broad net out there and try to figure out what helps each person and get and treat it individually. You know, and I also think that the community of Merced by large has to re-embrace the creek, re-embrace the bike paths, and really make it part of their process again, you know, of their daily process. Because the more people are down there, the less seclusion there's going to be, you know, and things of that nature.
Well, it is amazing to me. You have people that park there at McKee and Bear Creek, the parking lot there, that dirt strip is full. People make that loop all the way down to G, back up. It is a very popular thing, and I'm just thankful that, you know, we have folks that are keeping it halfway clean so people can enjoy it, and somewhat safe, I imagine, at the same time, because like you say, you're down there, you're kind of a presence, and it maybe stops some bad activity that would otherwise happen. Who knows? But again, having more eyeballs on an area. Have you ever come across anything that's been, you know, dangerous for you guys?
We've come across some needles, things of that nature, and we're careful of picking those up and putting them in sharps containers, things of that nature. No real dangers other than that, you know.
People kind of leave you alone, and you're not confrontational. You're just there to pick up stuff.
No.
Well, look, it's amazing how fast the time goes. We're at the end of the second segment, only one more to go. As Jer said, they are incorporating into a 501(c). We're going to talk about what their plan is. There's another organization, as I talk to you, reminds me of Restore Merced. Are you familiar with them?
Oh, yeah.
So they're an organization that's been around a while. Again, helping pick up trash, trying to get folks some life skills.
I believe they're on the creek on Wednesday.
Hey, well, we're going to talk to Jeremiah Griggins. He's my guest here, Vice President of the Bear Creek Yacht Club. We'll be right back. Saturday morning, January 15th, 8 a.m. Citizen Watch. My name's Casey Steed, the voice of your valley. On Merced's News Talk Station, 107.3 FM, 1480 AM, KYOS. Here with the Bear Creek Yacht Club. Jeremiah Griggins, the vice president of the Bear Creek Yacht Club, in studio. We've been talking to him, having a nice conversation. He works over there at HSA. Human Service Agency, health. They don't call it Health and Human Services anymore.
No.
Just HSA. So
Human Services Agency.
Human Services Agency. So many things. People used to fondly call it welfare, but we don't use that term anymore. And Jer actually works in the department getting people off of the government assistance and back into not only education, but a good job. Good jobs. And then, you know, that's one of the things we talked about early on is education and a good job, and you're probably not going to be living down at the creek, but unfortunately there's some folks that find themselves through mental illness, drug addiction, circumstances in life.
Or choice.
Could even be, yeah, or choice. You know, you're right about that, and that's where I kind of see some of the chronic folks that, you know, we shotgun every service out there, we offer everything. We saw 13th and G, I think they went through out of 40, they got seven people to accept services. It was very, very difficult, and then they let them rebuild the camp. And but again, we can it's a problem that's difficult, and I like that you're engaging the folks out there that are along the creek banks, along the waterways, maybe get some buy-in from them, maybe have them, you know, get those services again. You ask somebody enough times, maybe that 15th, 16th time. But now you guys talked about doing some fun things because you are incorporating a 501(c).
That's correct.
Now it's yourself, it's the Presidente, and how many other people involved in the organization? Like, you know, you got a board of directors, obviously.
We just had our first board of directors or board meeting this week, actually.
No kidding.
Yeah. For the last few months, it's been me and Zach. We've been kind of spearheading everything. But we just brought on a treasurer and a secretary and a member at large. So we're a five-person board now.
Wow.
So we got that all taken care of. And we're in that process. We actually are a nonprofit. We have actually been recognized as a nonprofit. We're just now getting our tax-exempt ID number taken care of. So that should be coming in shortly, actually. So,
and then, so what's on the horizon after we get the official? You know, what are you gonna? You talked about some races. Talk about that.
Yeah, the big thing that we want to bring back as a community event, it really is the rubber duck races. So we're shooting for September, or somewhere between the mid to end September range, where the water's still flowing through Bear Creek,
right?
Courtesy of MID.
Yeah,
going
I was
going
to say, you might talk to John, make sure they don't shut it off early.
Yeah.
Now the purpose of this is basically it's a raffle, right?
It is a raffle. It's a floating raffle down Bear Creek. You adopt a duck. The duck has its own unique serial number, and we dump all the ducks in the creek at the same time, and we let them float, and the first one that crosses the finish line is the main winner, and then we break it down to different winners from there.
Well, that'd be kind of fun.
It's bringing back a little bit of Merced from the late 80s to the early 90s. If my memory serves me correct, and
I
was probably 12 when I remember the rubber duck races floating down Bear Creek. I believe it was at one point a United Way event.
Right.
I believe it was. But I remember growing up on the creek, I was basically a creek rat every summer down on the creek. And I remember those things. And that, to me, that was what my hometown was, is being in Bear Creek, watching the salmon run. I don't know if you remember the salmon. Every once in a while, it would come up the creek in the fall runs. You know, and those days may come back. They may not. I don't know. That's a whole ecological thing that we're not really getting involved in. We're not necessarily a environmentalist group.
Right.
You know, we want to just bring back the creek so it's a fun, safe environment for everyone.
And really, the way it's being enjoyed now with the bike paths, the walking paths, And so maybe you're envisioning something maybe actually in the water with this duck race, anything. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys do the canoes and float down there in the kayaks. Any talk about a summer cruise? Or
We've actually already held our first main fun float. That was at the end of last year's water run, where we actually floated from 1 mile east of McKee, and we floated all the way down just shy of R Street. And we had about 15 to 20 kayaks floating down. And different John boats or whatever floats. As long as it's not motorized, if it floats, it's safe and it's not going to pop, and you're not going to end up in the water, we're good with it.
No, that's really neat. And how long does that take? What kind of a float is that? An hour?
Yeah, about an hour, hour 45.
See, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's definitely not a physically enduring. You just kind of float down river with it. So.
Right.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. You get to see Merced by a totally different route, you know, and we're in charge, or our mission we have taken on is actually 4 miles of the creek, from Highway 99 all the way to McKee Street.
Okay.
You know, and everybody's like, well, that should be easy.
Oh.
4 miles is a very long distance when you're picking up trash.
It's a long way to drive. I can't imagine walking in the bottom of that thing and both sides picking up trash. Well, that's really so. The duck race, the monthly, or they're bi-monthly, right? Every 2 months right now? You guys on your Facebook page are going out every day almost.
Almost every weekend. Almost every weekend we've been out on the creek at some section. We just recently spent 2 days in the 700 feet of creek that goes from the end of Main Street. So if you can imagine Main Street dead-ending into Bear Creek.
Yes.
To the upstream side of the 16th Street bridges. It took us 2 days to get to that section and get it to where it looked really clean, really nice, and our total weight, because the city came out and helped us dispose of all of it. They sent out their trucks and crushers. Actually, when they showed up, we had so much trash on the bank that they actually brought in a tractor to help them pick it up.
Wow.
But it turned out a total weight of 9.45 tons in 700 feet of creek.
I couldn't believe that. Yeah, it was almost 20,000 pounds of trash. It's just incredible because, again, that wasn't the first time you did it, Jer.
That was the first time we've done it without water in the creek.
Oh, without water.
Without water.
You guys picked up a ton of stuff.
Yes.
When it was up to the trestle neck there, I remember Matt was in his waders there. Yep. I don't know if you got the big...
Well, we almost all got waders now.
Everybody's
now in the waders.
Yeah, you guys were picking up, tons and tons of, tons of trash back then.
No, we were. We were getting the floating trash, the trash that was stuck inside the brambles, you know, that was caught up in the natural booms or natural trash traps. That's what we were catching in our kayaks. Well, now that the water has dropped... due to the dry season now is our go time. This is where we're getting in there and getting the really hard embedded trash. So everything that's
dug in trash.
Yeah, it's
I imagine those shopping carts when they're half full of mud. My God, you almost have to dig those things out with a shovel. I mean, it's a excavation.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It's literally like mining. Now, and the nice thing about it is after these events, you usually have you break a little bread, a little fellowship, and usually not bad offerings.
If we can get clean enough, fast enough, we will do that.
Yeah.
You know, the water isn't necessarily the cleanest, so we got to make sure at least we have hand sanitizer and things of that nature.
No, but you throw a little meal out for folks that come out and help volunteer. Now, we mentioned before the break, there's another group in town. They're just down the street, actually, here, Restore Merced.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been around for a while. Mayor Murphy was a big proponent of theirs. They have a little faith-based component to that, which some people said, government money, how do you do it? But then over the years, I call them the Smurf shirts, the bright green shirt guys out there.
Right.
They kind of wander around 10, 15 in a group with the little grabbers and stuff like that. And the idea is to, take some of these folks that are, causing the problem and teaching them life skills and giving them a stipend, some money. And, turns out they just got a contract with the city. Picking up some hotspots and stuff in certain areas, they get prevailing wage, which pretty good juice per hour to pick up trash.
Yeah, they can.
And so my question to you is, what do you think of that program? And two, since you're getting your 501(c), you would be in you could compete for those programs because they're led, I think, every 1 or 2 years, and a contract amendment's given, but it can be a way for a nonprofit to do what you're doing and yet, try to get some of these folks out. Any desire to do that or more just the citizen involvement?
Well, first off, Restore Merced, I think, is great. I think any organization that is trying to better Merced and better the citizens of Merced, I'm fully 100% on board. Let it be a religious organization or a non-religious organization, to me it really doesn't matter, because the end goal is the same. They are doing things that we do. We cross paths all the time, you know. They'll be going down the bike pass of Bear Creek, and then we'll jump down into the creek. They don't necessarily go into the creek, as far as I'm aware. I haven't seen them down into the creek like we get, you know, wet and dirty. That's fine. You know, I think there's plenty enough room in Merced.
Enough trash for everybody.
For not only our organization, their organization. There's Merced Walks out there. I mean, and Merced Walks and us, we're the brother-sister organization of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a great job of handling all the bike paths around Farron's Park, you know, up and down the creek. They hit the one that goes behind Walmart consistently, you know.
Are you going to be specifically Bear Creek, since you're the Bear Creek Yacht Club, or are you going to look at Farron's?
We have taken on the charge of the waterways.
The waterways.
We are the waterways.
Okay.
So we will hit Farron's, Black Rascal, and Bear Creek. Bear Creek really came from the cleaning up of Bear Creek, but if there's something over in Black Rascal, we've done at least 3 or 4 cleanups. I know we've walked in the water canal or the channel from our street all the way down to 59 and taken everything out of the trash that we could see, feel, find.
Mm-hmm.
So that section is, I'm going to say, good 70% free of trash now.
That's great. Well, you know, it sounds like I've learned a lot about the organization. And again, it's a very cute logo, and I appreciate you bringing me this thing. If people want to get involved, I mean, you have, what, a Facebook page?
We do, Bear Creek Yacht Club.
Bear Creek Yacht Club, yep. And that's a public page people can go on.
Public page.
And again, you have a schedule there of events coming up. But I noticed that some of your members, again, very active, and they'll show pictures. Hey, Joe stopped by this afternoon, saw a couple of carts, mm-hmm. had to get rid of them. And again, it's really a love of the community. And I just would love to see you run out of work, you know, quite frankly. I hate to say it, you know, it's fun once in a while, once a year, but I just think that there's somehow we have to get a handle on this problem.
I don't disagree with you.
We have to get a handle on this problem. And I love what you're doing, you know, because we can't just let it fester. The creeks would be unlivable. And
yeah.
And we have to, you know, you've lived here a long time, haven't
mm-hmm.
you?
Oh, yeah.
Your whole life?
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, you know, we're growing. We're trying to get big, and we mm-hmm. want to attract people.
Yes.
And you want to keep people here.
And Bear Creek is the gem of our city.
Isn't it?
It's
at night?
The lifeblood. It's the artery that runs through the middle of our city.
Right. Turlock has, I don't know, a trader. I don't know what they have over there. But we have this beautiful creek and bikeway system.
Yes.
Here in our community. We have the University of California.
Yep.
We have a tremendous economic engine in all of these things. And to keep people here so that they don't go north and south at the end of the day, they stay here in our county, I really think it's incumbent to have a clean community. I really do.
You're absolutely right. The Bear Creek Yacht Club, right now, our focus and mission is to clean up the creek. And then what happens when we get the creek clean, right? And that's the next phase. Right now, we're only in phase one. The next is getting and helping design the creek for more water activities, more things for people to go down to. I mean, if you grew up here in the 80s, people were inner tubing down the creek.
Right.
You know, there was a lot of activity down there. We got some gyms along the creek, not only Applegate, but we have the Strip Park or Yoga Park, as people call it now. I grew up knowing it as the rope swing.
Yeah.
You know, so there's many places that we can do many different things on the creek, but that's phase two, and there's possibly even a phase three to that creek, if not 4 or 5.
So how do people, you know, they have Facebook, is there a number?
We got Facebook. Our website is bearcreekyachtclub.org. You can check us out on there. We have some information there. Facebook is our main thing, along with Instagram as well.
I know a lot of people, when I see their posts, they're like, man, I wish I could come out, but physically, you know, getting in there. Mm-hmm. How can people support you? Other, you know, like if they want to support you, but they can't get down in the mud.
Well, that's the reason why we partner in our sister organization, Merced Walks. Merced Walks takes the paths. So while we're down in the creeks in our kayaks or in our waders, we have to lift that stuff up and out of the creek. Well, the land crew is the one that picks it up from there. So they can take smaller loads and pile it off to the side and get it into whatever we're doing that day. So there's plenty of opportunities. And if they can't help us, they can help Merced Walks, you know.
And is Merced Walks a 501(c)(2)?
I do not believe so.
So if people want to donate money, that's going to be easy to do here in the future because you're going to be a 501(c), and you can take those donations because you have expenses, right? There's the grappling hooks must wear out.
Trash bags. Trash bags are
man, those aren't cheap either.
Trash bags and gloves are biggest, and then just wearing out our waiters. Some of our members have gone through 3 sets already, you know, so.
Well, I hope you all have your tetanus shots.
We've been talking about getting those.
You step on a nail or something under there.
Yeah.
Well, Jeremiah, I really appreciate you coming in. And anything you want to leave our listeners with? When's your next event?
Our next event is, well, actually today. Today's our next event.
Saturday. As we go to air.
And you'll find us in all different locations. If there's a city cleanup, we will be at the city cleanup representing the Bear Creek Yacht Club.
Well, I'm glad that you're getting a lot of support, and I want to let you know you do have support from Citizen Watch, and we hope that, again, you can work yourself down to just doing these fun events. That would really be really be wonderful and kind of have a self-sustaining
thing. That's what the Bear Creek Yacht Club is about. It's about having fun. We've actually been told that we make clean trash cool, if that could happen.
Well, I think it is possible. Again, they do have a lot of fun out there. You really have to have a lot of fun. You have to look at this thing when you say, hey, we're going to go pick up trash today, guys, and to get people motivated, and especially week after week. Again, we did this first cleanup. It was over a year ago, and we're, you know, 4-year term for mayor. So we're hopeful that, again, we see progress, and we do. And it's great to see that your organization is getting that 501(c). That's really neat. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll see you later. And for you folks that want to listen to this, you can go to 1480kyos.com. It's on our podcast. It'll be up there in just an hour or so. Well, thanks for listening for this week's edition of Citizen Watch. Stick with us after the break for the bonus half hour. But it ain't a fault. No. Look what God gave.